China has invaded the U.S., and Washington is not paying attention. Welcome to China Uncensored. I'm Chris Chappell. The Chinese Communist Party has a toehold in a strategically crucial part of the U.S. And when I say crucial, I am not kidding. Which, yeah, I know, that's a first. What I'm talking about is the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, or CNMI for short, which is just north of Guam. They're the two closest U.S. territories to China. And if you want to get a sense of just how geographically important they are, here's a map of the Pacific at a 90-degree angle that illustrates that. How upsetting is it seeing a map from a different angle? It's like seeing your teacher at a movie theater. It's just wrong. The largest island in CNMI is Saipan, which is undergoing an $800 million military upgrade in preparation for war with China. By the way, that's a makeover show I'd love to see. It's like Queer Eye, but for warding off dictators. But you know who else has money in CNMI? The Chinese Communist Party! Big time! And they're using it for political warfare influence operations using a giant Chinese casino. This is actually a continuation of a story that I've covered before. If you haven't seen my previous episode on this, I highly recommend that you watch it. But to summarize, former CNMI governor Arnold Palacios warned about over-reliance on Chinese money and CCP-linked corruption in the U.S. territory. He even called for the U.S. to audit his own government. It's nice, but also sadly surprising to see that kind of integrity these days. But in mid-2025, Palacios died suddenly. So what was he trying to blow the whistle on? Well, there was a lot going on there, but among the many, many shady things that went down in CNMI was a huge money laundering scheme involving two Chinese nationals, Cui Lijie and her son, Ji Xiaobo, who, through a company called Imperial Pacific International, developed Saipan's only casino, the Imperial Palace. There was plenty of corruption leading up to them getting permission to build the casino, which I mentioned in the previous episode, but it got 10 times worse after. They wanted to make the casino massive and massively tacky, with 2,000 hotel rooms. But while that was under construction, Imperial Palace opened a temporary casino the size of an Olive Garden in a duty-free mall. Why did they need their casino to open so quickly? Why, money laundering, of course. By the first half of 2017, the small casino was turning over nearly 6 times more cash than all of the casinos in Macau, which dwarf the ones in Las Vegas. How do you move that much money through an Olive Garden-sized casino in a duty-free mall? Well, it had enormous influence, so big that it paid 3 former U.S. governors and a former FBI director as quote-unquote advisors, and had on its board of directors a retired military judge and a former CIA director. And yet, Imperial Pacific failed to pay its contractors for the big casino and fell behind on payments for licensing and other fees to CNMI. What it did pay, though, was millions of dollars in land leases to the family members of CNMI's then-governor, Ralph De Leon Guerrero Torres, all while smuggling in hundreds of Chinese workers through CNMI's 14-day tourist visa waiver to do construction work and keeping their long-term illegally. Those workers claimed they were sometimes worked 24-hour shifts for almost no pay. And you know the Chinese economy is bad when Chinese people hear this and think at least they have a job. Eventually, all this caught the attention of the FBI, which in 2019 raided former Governor Torres' office and Imperial Pacific during an investigation into money laundering and wire fraud from foreign entities. That investigation closed in mid-2025. Other U.S. government agencies like the IRS and Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network also opened probes. But guess what? The probes haven't led to any indictments. That's where we left the story off in our last episode. And since then, it's gotten weirder. And here's where the CCP comes in. You see, Imperial Palace closed during COVID, and the company running it, Imperial Pacific International, declared bankruptcy. But after that, another company acquired the Imperial Palace for less than $13 million. That company is Team King Investment, which was founded solely for the purpose of purchasing the casino by a Japanese businessman named Kaneko Hiroshi. Why am I using air quotes to describe Kaneko as Japanese, you may ask? First of all, because there's fun. And I don't care what you say. Second, it turns out that Kaneko isn't really Japanese. According to the Washington Post, Kaneko was born in China as Jin Song, a name he still goes by in Hong Kong, where he spends much of his time, and only later became a Japanese citizen. And he has long-standing ties to Imperial Palace developers Sui Li Jie and Ji Xiaobo. So really, it's not so much that the casino was sold, but more that it was transferred to a new shell company. Even the mobsters that set up the casinos in Vegas weren't this slippery. May they rest in peace in whatever shallow graves in the Nevada desert they wound up in. But here's where the situation gets really sus. Kaneko also has ties to pro-CCP people through the companies he controls, including members of the Shandong Province and Jiangmen City branches of the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference, the highest-ranking body of the United Front Influence Operations Organization. And guess what? CNMI officials are welcoming Kaneko with open arms. Days after former CNMI Governor Arnold Palacios, the man who stood up to the CCP, was buried, Lieutenant Governor Dennis Mendiola greeted Kaneko in Saipan with the applause of the former executive director of the Commonwealth Casino Commission. The body was still warm and this guy was looking for cold hard cash. Mendiola, by the way, is under indictment for alleged misuse of government funds and vehicles in 2022. Officials are promoting casinos as a way to generate wealth for the local economy. But this is an open invitation for Chinese corruption. They're rolling out the red carpet and brushing the workers they abused underneath it. Chinese-linked casinos are the kind of thing that the CCP uses to expand its political influence operations. It's how the CCP corrupts other countries like Cambodia and the Solomon Islands. But here's the thing to keep in mind. Unlike those countries, CNMI is U.S. territory. Yet CNMI is pushing to go in the same direction as those countries. To that end, the CNMI island of Tinian launched the Tinian Stablecoin, or MUSD. I know the title in this headline says this is for internet gaming, but no, this isn't Fortnite, or the now dead Call of Duty series, RIP to all the 12-year-olds that are going to have to find someplace new to drop slurs. This currency is really for online gambling. The money laundering possibilities are off the charts. CNMI officials are also pushing for more casinos by changing the law to remove exclusive license and allow for more casino licenses. And as of this recording, CNMI still allows Chinese people to arrive without a visa, which Chinese people abuse to illegally obtain U.S. driver's licenses and enter Guam. The visa waiver also makes CNMI vulnerable to drug trafficking and organized crime. But rather than crack down on it, the CNMI governor who replaced Palacios, David Apatong, is reversing Palacios' pivot away from China. He wants to restore Chinese visitor arrivals to pre-pandemic levels. The pandemic that China itself caused. But hey, who's keeping score? Me, I'm keeping score. They're trying to attract new investors with streamlined application and permitting processes, as well as favorable tax and land lease terms, which I presume will come largely from China. I'm sad to say this, but the gates have already opened wide for a pro-CCP tsunami, and the death of Palacios helped expedite CNY's turn to the dark side. Making matters worse is how the Trump administration itself has been infiltrated. The U.S. government organization responsible for administering CNMI is the U.S. Interior Department. And the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Insular and International Affairs there is former CNMI legislator Angel Demapan. According to the Daily Signal and Federal Election Commission filings, Demapan illegally accepted campaign funds from Chinese companies, including Imperial Pacific International Holdings, the parent company of Imperial Palace. That company donated to him, as well as to Mariana Islands Governor Ralph Torres, whom Dhammapon served as his chief of staff. Just before getting to his position in the U.S. Interior Department, Dhammapon was legislative director for Kimmerlin King Hines, a pro-China engagement politician who's pushing Washington to lift caps on direct flights from China. Somehow, despite his background, Dhammapon's appointment didn't raise alarms as red as China's fishing fleets. And he didn't face any repercussions from alleged illegal campaign money because of the statute of limitations. It was just too late by the time the FEC uncovered these shady money dealings. And I guess somehow it was too late to not offer him this job. Whoopsie. Still, he is leading a bureau that oversees U.S. territories in the Pacific, including CNMI. According to senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracy and friend of the show Cleo Pascal, Dhammapon is even representing Washington in negotiations involving CNMI, demanding $100 million more in funding despite not properly accounting for over $1 billion in COVID relief aid for a population of just around 50,000 people. Don't you just hate it when money grows wings and flies away in the middle of the night? Happens to the best of us. How can we trust that he's going to do what's best for the U.S.? Do you know how untrustworthy you have to be the least honest person in an administration run by Donald Trump? When the Trump administration talked about prioritizing security in the Western Hemisphere in its 2025 national security strategy, it was clear, contrary to what the media was saying, that this is about countering Chinese operations. Trump is well aware that Chinese influence operations pose a threat by infiltrating countries within proximity of the U.S. The same caution should be applied to CNMI, even more so since it's U.S. territory. We need to do more to make the Pacific CCP-free. And right now, the U.S. is doing less than when Trump tossed paper towels in another U.S. territory, Puerto Rico. At least that shows he's trying to help clean up a mess. Unfortunately, not enough resources and attention are going to CNMI and the rest of the Pacific. That's why I'm calling on you to talk to your U.S. representatives to raise the alarm bell now before it's too late. Don't let Palacios' death go to waste, and don't let China collect any more footholds in U.S. territory. Once again, I'm Chris Chappell. See you next time.